All right, here we go. New week. The O-Dog is back. The threesome is back where I guess we're supposed to be. We're all intact here on Overdrive. TSN 1050. Online, tsn1050.ca. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. It's Halloween week. I can't tell you how many people have been tweeting me over the past 10 days or so asking if we're going to do the Michael Myers theme song bit. Yes, we will do that. We'll get to that later in the week.
I
got a lot of material. We've got to ease into this.
Yeah, we got to ease into it. I'm super jacked to be back, and I'm also a little bit mentally fatigued of the people with the tweets, the comments at the grocery store. I like you on Overdrive, but Jonas has some really good points. Maybe he should do some more. I'm like, okay, thanks.
Or, that was just Myrtle. That's it. Just,
no,
him and Myrtle
it's more than Myrtle. Some nerds at the grocery store or people saying, you're really good on Overdrive, but I like Jennifer Hedger better. So there. I'm
well,
like,
Hedge
okay.
is really good.
Hedge did perform very well. She had two rock star shows. There's no disputing
fantastic.
That. But
yeah, thank you for filling in. Unfortunately, I'm back and I'm stuck here. You're not coming back on a regular basis.
Well, they
I
will.
Am on
I'm
the
going
show.
On, I'm going on holidays next week, so they'll be
Perfect.
On for me.
Perfect.
So you can
Perfect.
Have a chat with Jonas.
You can have the chirps and people saying, oh, you know, this person should be on a regular basis.
A lot of those people don't even come across my timeline, whether they're probably muted or blocked. It doesn't matter. That's fine. We move on, right? I don't get worked up about that stuff.
Well, now you're asking for it, though. You realize you're asking for it. If you want to be a tough guy on here.
I'm not being a tough guy.
It's coming for you, Noodles. You're going to get it in the next couple of weeks. People
As
will be launching Twitter accounts to chirp you somehow.
Great. Like I'm not being a tough guy. You can't please everyone. For the most part, let's use the 80-20 rule because I use 80-20 for everything. 80% people will love you no matter what because you try hard and you try and entertain. 20% people will hate you no matter what either.
I think it's closer to 50-50 in radio and media. But
okay, maybe it's 50-50.
Right,
you're right.
In
okay,
general,
so.
You're probably right about 80-20. Probably 50-50
AZ, you did mention Halloween week. It's coming up on Saturday. I did see you complaining on the show that your kids didn't do Halloween. Sorry, bud. It just can't happen.
Oh, really? Are you? Yeah. You're the Doug Ford spokesman now on this show? You're representing Doug?
I just was kind of shocked. We're with what's going on. Things are serious. We're back into a bad spot, and you were complaining that your kids can't go trick-or-treating.
Yeah, you can do some.
Well, there are. In my area, we still can. Halloween is still on, as far as I know. That's just certain regions. That's only stage two, I believe, was the suggestion. Toronto,
I'm just
Peel,
saying, hide
Ottawa.
Some candy in the backyard. Let the kids find it. They'll be happy.
Yeah, people are going to get creative. People get creative.
Yeah, I think there is.
You got three kids. You tell me they're not happy? Your three kids are not going to be happy with this either. I mean, kids have had a rough ride, right? Like parents and adults, we can deal with it. We understand what's going on. Kids, it's not so easy to explain, you know.
I think my kids are a little bit older right now, and I think they understand if they can just have some candy, it'll all be good. Put a costume on. Way you go.
Okay.
You know what? Leave a bag of candy somewhere in the house. That's all that can go on. What
yeah, people are going to get creative, and to each their own, you do whatever you want to do. But I think if you're outside of those three regions, you are free to do whatever you want. And I think you're free to basically do kind of what you want anyway. I mean, I don't think the cops are going to be stopping kids on the street on Saturday. I think there's bigger and better things to worry about than that. You know?
Well, are you preparing? Like, are you buying? You've bought candy. I think we established that last week. You bought candy, and you are going to have an available house if somebody wants to knock on the door?
Yeah. Absolutely. We're going to be out there. I'll probably be on the front step or something. I don't know. We haven't talked about the science of it all and how we're going to handle it. And
you know what I was going to do? Tell me if I'm wrong with this. I could buy those little plastic or not those little paper bags, like the brown paper bags, put some candy in individually. And then if I see three people walking up, I'll leave three bags out there on my step. They can come and get them.
There you
and
go.
They can,
that seems they, very reasonable.
And,
very
and,
safe.
And I, if I want, like I can leave a Lysol wipe there too. They can wipe the bag or whatever, and they can move on.
Yeah.
I mean, well, is that reasonable or is that crazy?
No, I think it's crazy, but it's typical with 2020. It's totally reasonable in 2020. Can you imagine I explained this to you a year ago that this is what we're going to be doing for Halloween? Leaving bags
Noodles
out on
would
the corner.
Support that. He would be like, I'm down with that. I think that's a good move.
A year that's ago, though? I
that's probably not far from what Noodles would want to do on a normal
yeah.
day.
That would be just standard practice, I think.
Yeah. A year ago, if we had said, Noodles, what are you doing for Halloween? He would have said, I'm going to leave some bags with Lysol wipes on the porch. Come and get them. That would have been his routine.
That's not true, because I'm not a germaphobe.
Noodles, admit this to me. You might do that with the bags, but your kids are not going trick-or-treating, are they?
I actually don't know what the plan is. My understanding is from what I heard from the boss.
No. That's a no.
No, I think there's some form of a scavenger hunt being put together.
I think there's kids within a half block radius of us, and we're going to figure out how to make them all happy. And we're not just not going to be knocking on random doors,
And I also heard the word pinata. So I don't know what that means. There's a pinata involved where some kids come by and they work the thing over with a stick and grab some candy and move on. I don't know what the plan is, but my understanding, I don't think the kids are going door to door this year, but we are going to be creative to make sure that they have an experience.
There's an experience, exactly.
Yeah, 3-year-old son, he doesn't know what the hell's going on.
And that was my point a week ago, and I stand by it. You know, the kids have had a tough run. It's been 8 months. I think we could have come up with some sort of a plan. But instead, it was just cancel, 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 and the kids get burned again.
Okay.
And, you know, I think that that's disappointing, and I think it should have been incumbent on someone within the, you know, realm of Queens Park to figure out some sort of safe guidelines, but they didn't. So be it, you know, and parents are going to figure it out on their own anyway. I mean, it's your kids, right? You're responsible for their safety and their well-being, and you do what you feel is you're comfortable with. And I think, as we've stated in years past, and I think it's even more important to point out this year, if you don't want to partake, don't partake. Turn the lights off. No one's going to knock on your door if you don't have the lights on.
Right.
You know? But if you feel like you can make a way to make it work with kids and stuff like that, it's your life.
Right.
And that's where I stand on it.
I'm fine with that. I think people are going to be creative. I hope that – I know the numbers are scaring people, but I think, you know, I'm not subscribing to the theory that it's just more testing so it's bigger numbers. I mean, people are, you know, it's legitimately here. We've got to be mindful of it. And I hope that people, that we don't have to completely shut down. Like, you know, back to, what was that, stage one, where basically
we're not going back there. That's not going to happen again. I mean, that's not doable. It's not possible. You know, we're in stage two in a couple of different spots. I mean, that's a pretty big, substantial movement. Yep. You're never going to make everyone happy either. I mean, that's clear. There's 14.5 million people in the province. There's going to be people that love it, hate it, are going to be outspoken, whatever. I mean, that's the nature of the beast, and that's the way it's going to go. So, and we'll see what kind of details come out towards the end of the week. If there's more guidelines, if there's more advice, I'm open to that. If anyone's got any unique ideas, creative ideas, how to make that work, shoot them our way, right? If we haven't muted you or blocked you, that would be something we'd really appreciate. If we could find a way to get your advice.
All I was responding to was what O went through mentally, and I'm not going to do that in the next 2 weeks. When I'm gone, guys need me, I'll call in, but I'm not going to be worried about if somebody writes in and goes, Jonas is really good on the show. Yes, he is, and so is Jennifer Hedger, and so is Mike Johnson, and whoever else fills in for us.
Yep.
You know, it is what it is.
I had to, not that I got stuck watching you guys, but I had some garbage weather. I had some garbage weather. I was thinking about teeing it all day, and it was just, I got to play three times, and then it was rain and drizzle. And 4 o'clock, the old overdrive. My wife even said to me, why are you watching this? This is the show that you're on every day. Why don't you take a break? And you just end up tuning in. What can I say?
Yeah, it's a weird experience watching the show when you're not on the show.
I've done that
many times before, but did you tuck the clubs away? Is that it for you? You're done for the year? Or are you going to try to sneak in another couple of rounds if it's possible?
You know what, Brian? It's funny you say that. I had an offer to play some goat ranch called Upper something or other, Upper Pickering.
Yeah, it's still on the table, yeah.
No, I'm not.
That's declined.
No. Goat
you threw
ranch.
The X up.
Did you not notice not how happening? There was no response when you said, I might sniff around at Upper Pickering.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no, that's upper, not.
Upper Keswick.
Whatever that course is you mentioned, I've never heard of it. I'm never playing there.
Well, that's fine. Consider the invitation revoked then. We don't want you out there. But
I was kind of circling back. I think Wednesday this week is the only day you can tee it.
I got to play because I have to.
Me too. And I
heard you're not. That guy's coming off a 90.
No, it's actually 100. I heard that nonsense too. Yeah. And that's actually 115. Because the holes you just said, like, I know that I could pick up and say, just give me a six because I ultimately probably would have made a double bogey on the hole. You give me a drop, I'll hit it up to the green, I'll two putt for a double bogey. Your pickups could be disastrous.
Yeah, they would have been. They were. It was slashing it around, and I just said, I'm done. And then it was a double. But based on the handicap system and everything, I mean, you got to play fair. A double is a double is a double. But, yeah, it was ugly. So I'm going to try to grind. I'll let you know. I was watching some of the golf yesterday, and that Zozo Championship is a weird experience because it's a small field, so everyone's playing throughout the weekend.
Dude, can I just interrupt? Why on earth, and I know the TV probably set it up that way, Tiger and Phil yesterday were 20-something shots behind the leaders, and they were showing them slash it around the front nine when the leaders were on the back. I'm like, please. I know Jeff McDonald, our boss, probably loves seeing Tiger slash it around, but I'm like, come on, guys. You cannot keep putting these two on TV. It was a joke.
They were on a lot early because of who they are, as we know. They're paired, right? Like when Phil and Tiger.
I know, and they planned it so they had to play the back nine first so the leaders could go through. But they still had it timed in prime time. Those shots that they were hitting would still be on television. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Their give a bleep meter to play golf yesterday was below zero.
Well, and that was the interesting kind of dichotomy and the experience of watching this where – Phil and Tiger are playing together. That has not happened that much over the past 23 years.
38 times.
There you go. Which, again, for two guys who have won more tournaments than almost everyone else combined over that time, for them to be paired that few times is a rarity. And here you've got a scenario where they've set it up and they're playing. And yet it's like, can we just see Cantlay and Rahm and Thomas? Like, can we see the big boys who are like Connors had a great tournament? And it was depressing. Tiger and Phil just chop it around.
Every putt is like, here's Tiger on the eighth green for par, 12-footer. I'm like, there was no birdie attempts. There was nothing.
Nothing.
Here's Phil with a 35-foot chip for par. I'm like, this is insane.
It was really ugly. Really ugly. Like, they showed one of Tiger. The last shot they showed of Tiger, they might have showed him putting out on nine, but I think it was a par 3, 7 or 8. It was either the 7th or 8th hole. And he was 15 yards short. Like, he didn't even make the green.
I know. It was so bizarre. It went from here's Cantlay to go from 24 under, and then they go to the double cam, and here's Phil with a 30-foot chip for par. I'm like, stop this.
It's just really awkward.
Yeah, I know.
And I hope it's not a sign of what we're going to see in 2 weeks, because they're both going to be at the Masters, as we know.
They were just tuning up. That was just a tune-up.
I hope so, Noodles. They got to make the cut.
I heard it all from you. I just mentioned his name, the biggest Tiger fan. He said he's just getting primed up for Augusta. I'm thinking, they even said it on the broadcast, this guy is just not playing golf. He's not playing golf.
No.
And they're talking about he might jump in and play the Houston Open, which he never does. Like, I don't know what kind of expectations you could have for this guy. And it seems like 7 years ago, but this guy's the defending champ. Isn't he? Tiger Woods is the defending champ.
He literally is the guy who is determining the championship dinner menu.
Yes, like, and putting the green jacket on the winner this year.
Which is tough for Tiger because he's got to stick around if he misses the cut.
Well, Jerry's percentage is that Tiger's putting on a green coat this year.
Oh, his own around the clubhouse. On Tuesday and Wednesday at the dinner. But I don't think he's got a shot at winning that tournament.
No, like, I don't either.
Not a shot at winning that. The way he's been playing and how he – like, and Phil's the same thing. Phil's game, he should be on the Champions Tour. Like, go and carve that up. be a ringer.
Against... Dude, they can't beat him on that tour. No, he just shows up. He's 2 for 2, and Weirzy had a chance and had a great white shard out there, and he just couldn't do it. Phil is going to win.
Yeah.
Old Lanny Watkins is going to sign a 10-year extension to watch Phil destroy those guys for the next 10 years.
They must just hate seeing him show up.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? It would just be – who's that one guy in the golf movie Tin Cup? That like, who was the guy that was a jerk? Don Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's him. That must be like, they're like, oh, great, Phil's here. Like, there's guys out there, like, trying to win and trying to be respectable. Like a couple weeks ago, like you said, Weir had the round of his life over the past 2 or 3 years. Ernie Els was in contention. Like, these are Hall of Famers, not Weir, but, you know, Ernie Els, Jim Furyk's out there. And Phil just snaps out of it and goes, I'm just going to run off like a 63 and win this tournament.
Yeah. Those guys were hitting like 3 woods, 9 irons in every hole. Phil was getting his driver out and knocking it on the green. He was like, what is this, a pitch and putt? It was comical. It was every par four, the guy's like, well, maybe he's going to hit the iron out. No, just driver to the green.
It was David Sims. That's his name in Tim Cup. David Sims. Yep. That's what he is.
He's basically
Don Johnson in Tin Cup.
Yeah.
I would love to see that, though. Who's the oldest guy on that tour? How old can you be to play on the
seniors? I don't know if
there's
a limit, Noodles. I mean, there's...
Like, Vijay Singh is on there, right?
Vijay's on there. He'd be in his 60s by now, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure who the oldest player would be, quote-unquote, on tour, on the Champions Tour, but guys well into their 60s are still playing. And
you'd be shocked if I told you the age of Vijay Singh.
He's 57 years old, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 57 years old.
Way.
He looks.
I thought he was 63 or 64.
I thought he was 65. He's been around forever.
Because he played every for about 25 years. He literally played every tournament. Like there was a pitch and putt charity event in like North Carolina, and Vijay would show up and play.
Well, I think he's got the most wins over the age of 40. Like he was dominant at 40 and above. Like
he was
chasing down Tiger Woods at 40 plus.
Well, remember he kind of stole that Canadian Open from Mike Weir back in.
He tried to give it to Mike Weir. He was like, Weirzy, here you go, and he couldn't do it.
Yeah,
I remember watching that. I'm saying, okay, Weirzy, Vijay's missing putts for you here. Maybe not on purpose, but he's trying to give you the tournament, and Weirzy couldn't close it.
No.
That was depressing.
That sucked, because that was, I think, in 2003, that was his big year. Like, that was after he won the Masters. It was at Glen Abbey, I believe. And Weir was right there to basically wrap up. It was already the greatest season in Canadian golf history.
Yeah, there's a lot of depressed Canadian golfers. And shout out to all the hackers and slashers that sent out pics of your last rounds. I saw you guys. It's heartbreaking out there slashing in the cold weather. But I think it's game over. Wednesday looks like the last day where you can tee it up.
Yeah, it's late October. I mean, this is the expectation, right? And now people are going to get creative around the house, because when COVID hit, it was like mid-March. So you were basically through it, right? Like, we were kind of on the other side. You had to grind through about 3 weeks of really still some cold weather. But you knew April was coming, and it was going to get up to 8, 9, 10 degrees with some sun. Now we're in for... Like, winter is coming, man.
Cold, dark winter. Like, you, with COVID, when we were in lockdown, you could go for walks.
Right.
Like, you were going for walks. You're getting some exercise. You're getting outside, some fresh air. Like, I don't know. I'm doing the backyard rink.
Great
this
call.
Winter.
Great call.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it today, because Jiffy's got this new offer where they're going to literally set up people's backdoor rinks. You just got to tap it into the app.
It's
brilliant idea.
It's a brilliant idea.
Like I'll be calling them.
Yeah, call the Jiffy app, because they literally, like, we'll bring everything out. We set it all up. All you got to do is tap a button, and before you know it, you got a rink in your backyard.
So they're going to act.
Dreg should be a correspondent for them. He knows everything about backyard
rinks.
That's
crazy. I didn't know that, because I called Dregs, because there was a website or something called easyice.com, and you put this rink in like 60 minutes, and you put a liner in and put water in. But if Jiffy does it, or maybe they just do the setup.
Jiffy's doing everything. Like, you know, there's going to be some containment on your end, clearly. Like, maintenance, I should say. But,
yes, for sure.
You know, that goes without saying over the course of a winter. But that's a great call, Noodles. I would guess this will break records this winter for backdoor rinks.
Just like pools, Brian. Do you know that this summer during the pandemic, when the pandemic hit, guys that are building pools, pool people, they are stuffing their pockets with money.
Yeah.
You can't get a pool for the next 2 years.
2 years. I talked to my
pool guy. 2 years to get a consult to go for the guy to look in your backyard and say, yeah, I can do this back there. That's how long it takes just to get a guy to go over and look at your backyard.
I agree. I talked to Mario, my pool guy, on Friday, and he's like, we are so booked for the next – he goes, for next summer, we're done. Like, we're already done for next summer.
It's across the board for landscaping and stuff. We were looking into changing up our backyard a little bit.
Yeah.
I've called like 7-8 different companies. You can't even get a call back. And if you do, they kind of roll over and they're like, yeah, I'll get back to you when I can. And then, like, take off in their Corvette. You know, it's like, okay, I guess, you know, I'm not a high priority, nor would I expect to, if you're basically working all over the neighborhood. Like, every second house is getting something done throughout the GTA. Feels that way. They're making a fortune.
They are.
Good
but
for
if
them.
They're here,
someone's making money and doing things during COVID.
I hope that they're appreciative of it, because on the way back, they'll be begging you. Like, don't be heroes on the way up when you're making and lining
your
pocket.
Even if you can't
do it.
Make a call back and just say, sorry, we're so swamped, but if you're still in the, you know, looking for it next year, give us a call back.
I
had one company, because I've been calling around just saying, can you come and take a look? Booked, was supposed to show up, just never showed up. I was sitting out there at 7:30
at night.
Showed up.
That's garbage.
And I'm like really? Like,
why don't you say the name of the place? Call them out.
It doesn't matter.
Come on, man.
They got I don't need to ruin
they got
a
bigger
place.
Problems. They're probably out of business now anyways.
Yeah.
If you conduct business like that, you should be out of business.
Yeah, it was tough sledding. I mean, I'm sitting there waiting for the guy. I'm like, I guess he's not gonna show up. Okay. Anyway, week 7 in the NFL wraps up tonight. Pretty good game too. Bears Rams. Like, this is a big game tonight. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot coming out of the weekend. We'll get into it. World Series takes a night off. It's at 3-2. It's been a great World Series. I mean, just an incredibly memorable World Series. And we'll touch on that. And I have a sense that the NHL might end up taking the playbook of MLB. And that's not necessarily a good thing in terms of their future and in terms of how they're going to play out the upcoming schedule. We'll get into that as well. We got a big show today. Ray's back. Marcellus Wiley. Ryan Dempster's on the show. Nate Bjorkgren, former assistant here with the Raptors, new head coach of the Indiana Pacers. He'll join us in just over an hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so the Monday nighter tonight, the Bears taking on the Rams. It's an off night in the World Series. The Dodgers up 3-2, and Kershaw was wheeling and dealing, man. He was in trouble, you know, early in that game. And then out of nowhere, Manny Margot tries to steal home.
Yeah. What is he doing? I mean, the coach, Cash, said after the game, we encourage our players to do intelligent things. That was not one of them, man. What?
It's a hero move.
Dude, it is a hero move. He did it on his own. There's no way the coach said, oh, maybe you can get a sniff around here and steal home. Like, who does that, man?
No, you're right.
It's just, that was ridiculous. And I don't know, there was another ridiculous play. I got to think about it from the weekend. It was Gurley. It was Gurley saying that he didn't know the goal line.
Oh,
he
know
that he got in there on purpose.
That guy.
You know that he did that. I was like, those are the two of the dumbest plays I've ever seen.
If there was a segment here called the Daily Dope, those two would have gotten the award.
Right in it.
Yep.
But that Margot trying to steal home plate, like, well, I don't know what. Like, it's Clayton Kershaw, then, man. What did he, like...
When you got him reeling, too. You let him off the hook. Like, that was, I believe, in the fourth inning. They put two on the board in the third on him. He walks to open the inning, and then, you know, Margot steals second, pass ball, takes third, so he's running high, and he's thinking, okay, here we go. Like, I'm the guy who's going to tie this game up and change things up. And they had him reeling. Like, and then Kershaw, after that, was kind of home sailing, and the game was over. You know,
what a turnaround in a playoffs. Like, I saw your tweets, Hayes, and everybody had the same tweets about Clayton Kershaw. There was a couple playoff Kershaws here. Get him out now. And now this guy's just looked at as, you know, just – it kind of has that. Doesn't it feel like to you guys where it's that Ovechkin-type feeling where it's like, let's win this one for this guy.
Yep.
And he's finally performing in the playoffs, and he's getting the job done. They got a real talented team. And they're going to ultimately get it done. I've never seen quite a turnaround. It feels like that Ovechkin-type scenario where for so long there were so many disappointments, so many bumps on the road, and then at the very end or near to the very end, it seems like they come out on the other side and get the job done. That's the sense I get.
It's a perfect comparison because Ovi is a, you know, all-time great, wherever he ranks for you, top 10, top 20, top 25 all-time. And Kershaw would be in that conversation for pitchers.
You know, well, they put the stat board up there, Brian. He's the only guy with multiple Cy Youngs that hasn't won a world championship.
Yeah, exactly. And they've had many opportunities, as we know. Like, they've been to the World Series multiple times.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't close. And that's he's not the only reason for that. But I still – I don't think the chapter is over yet in 2020 for Kershaw, because they got a day off today. He likely will not be seen in Game 6. But in Game 7, he might be. You know, if Tampa wins Game 6 and it goes to 7, Buehler will be on the mound.
And it's all hands on deck.
It's all hands on deck. And it'll be the same situation we've seen for years with whether it's Roberts or Mattingly, you know, whoever's been the manager with the Dodgers over the years, where they're likely going to be in a scenario where it's like the seventh inning, you need a clean sheet.
They need to get a guy out.
And you get him up, right? It's like, do we call and do we go to him and say, we need you to warm up, we need you to come in and give us something? And that will be the moment, if it gets there. You know, I'm not convinced it'll get to 7. The Dodgers are the better team. The Rays are scrappy, but, you know, they survived on Saturday night. Like, that story on Saturday, that comeback win, that was a remarkable
insane.
Game.
That was insane. Were both of those errors, were they chalked up to errors, the fielding play and then the play at home?
That's a good question, Noodles. I just pulled it up. Let me go back and look at that.
That had to have been an error on the catcher.
Well, it should have been on Betts too. Like, he overplayed it.
Well, yeah. He overplayed it in the field, and then the catcher, he did the little spinorama with the glove, and the glove popped out. Like,
thought it was a play at the plate. Now, that still should be an error, because the ball was there for him, right?
Right.
And he thought it was a play at the plate, which the interesting thing about that is if a Rosarena doesn't fall, then he wouldn't, you know, think it was a play at the plate. But he blew a wheel and then gets up, and, like, it was just – or it would have been a play at the plate, I guess, if he didn't blow a wheel. But, yes, two errors for the Dodgers. Yeah, I believe they were both called errors. I think so. Yeah. Like, the Betts one, for sure, he overplayed it, which never happens.
I love watching – like, watching that live, but then watching the reaction of Twitter. Because people, you know, the people I follow are just like, oh, my, what a play. That's crazy. Like, you know, it's like the Jones trip the other day. Like, you know, every person I follow is like, what happened? Like, this is crazy. Like, it's everyone's watching the same thing at the same time. So it's I love seeing the reaction of my friends on
Twitter. Yeah, it was
Twitter.
Incredible watching that, because really the story was who's coming up to plate. Like, Brett Phillips is up to plate, and there's two outs, you're down by a run. That's basically your season, right? Like, you've got to win that game. It's game four, you're down 2-1 in the series. And Joe Buck has been spectacular, too, over the past couple of weeks.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Calling football games. Like, he called the Daniel Jones trip. Yeah. That's him. And then he calls the World Series. And the way he called that final play on Saturday night was incredible. And as Phillips is walking up to the plate, he goes something along the lines of, he has been hitting under 200 for both organizations because he was acquired by Kansas City. This guy's basically a poor man's, like, Muni Kawasaki up at the plate with your season on the line. And then there's tweets coming in saying Brett Phillips has been hitting 178 since 2018. Stark tweeted, Jason Stark from The Athletic, Brett Phillips' last hit was a month ago today. So you put all that into perspective, and he Roger Dorn's one into shallow right. Like, he barely muscled that into the gap.
Slapped it.
He you knew it wasn't going to be find an alley or go over the fence. But and then chaos, right?
It's
chaos and right. It's chaos at the plate. It was wild, man.
Yeah,
was
I'm sure you guys saw there was one camera angle. It was kind of along the first baseline where it showed everything in the transaction happening, like the mess at home plate, the guy falling, getting back up, and then him running out. It was a really cool angle. It was just
– it was crazy. It was Taylor.
It was a sequence in sports that was incredible.
Yeah. It wasn't Betts that threw the ball, and it was Taylor. That's my bad. It was Taylor that missed through it, and he got clipped for an error. And Smith got clipped for an error or two at the plate. So back-to-back errors for a team that has been relatively, you know, any team that gets to the World Series is as good defensively as you can find and doesn't usually do themselves any damage. But that's kind of the story of the weekend, is that the Dodgers, in a way, clipped themselves on Saturday night. And then yesterday with that play at the plate and trying to steal home, you kind of – it's like self-inflicted pain, basically,
well,
for both teams.
I thought – that sports was amazing, period, on the weekend. But let me ask you both this. Did you miss, like, do you miss the fans? Like, I don't even pay attention anymore. I don't care. Like, I don't care.
But the fans are there for baseball. Like, there's enough there, Noodles.
To give you some ambience.
I thought it was cool to see, although you kind of question, it's just kind of where we're at. You see the guys that are in the crowd, they're not wearing the mask or whatever. You're like, dude, what are you doing? Like, that one goon that was throwing his glove in, he didn't. But I enjoyed seeing fans back in the baseball park. Like, I thought it was cool to see that.
I'll give you an example. I watched the Khabib fight in leading up to it. Like, it was awesome to watch, like, amazing sports. It would be nice to see the reaction of a crowd, you know, especially, like, some of the knockouts.
Knockouts
and stuff. Like, there was a crazy fight, two before the Khabib fight. And I don't know, like, I know we're, if you guys can see me, I know we're on radio and that, but you know the axe throating or the cut of the throat? The throat slash, that's what it's called. There was a guy who handed one of those out in, like, just before they were about to fight, a throat slash to the other guy, and he got dummied.
And then he got smoked.
Then he got dummied.
Why do you think any of that would ever work at the UFC? You know, if you're on the street, then maybe it could, because there's intimidation. Anyone who has the frame of mind that is willing to step in the octagon is tough as nails, has stones for days and courage for days, and is not going to be intimidated by your stupid gesture.
Well, I was thinking this guy. Now, I'll butcher the names, but the guy who handed the throat slash out, his name was Ion Kutubiaya or something, and he did it to this mutant Russian. This guy was Magomed Antaliev, and the guy just dummied him.
It's just a dummy move. And furthermore, on Khabib, is this just a Connor McDavid thing, though? Are we really to believe that this guy is retiring? You're telling me they don't throw a boatload of cash at this guy, he doesn't come back and fight again?
I don't know if he's a cash guy, though.
I think it's different because of his disposition, his background. But I also am willing to accept that there was a lot of emotion coursing through him at that point.
I get it. He lost his dad. That's a big thing. And he was obviously his biggest supporter. He's the guy that introduced him to the whole nine. But I just don't see him retiring.
Me neither.
I'm just used to Conor McGregor saying, that's it, I'm retiring. And then all of a sudden it's like, I'm taking on this fight. You're not retiring.
Well, I separate the two because McGregor is always just about performance and about promotion. So every time he quote-unquote retires, it's so bogus. No one even cares. You don't even get a retweet. You get zero retweets on a retirement tweet because people are like, no, you're not. Like, you're blatantly prepping for something. Khabib, I don't get the impression – in fact, I know, is not interested in the hysterics, in the drama, in the viral moments. I think what was likely going on, as I play amateur psychologist, is it was incredibly emotional. It has been, of course. He lost his dad. It was his first fight without him, and he wins, and he handled them. I mean, a second-round submission against Gaethje is remarkably impressive. He's 29-0, and in the moment, he's just like, that's it, I'm done. I wouldn't be surprised if he's already stepped back on that. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he got home, sat back, and just said, wait a minute. Like, I'm going to take my time before I make a decision. Like, post-fight. Like, there's really nothing in life that can get you more, you know, emotional, hyped up, adrenaline than right after a fight. Like, quite literally fighting somebody. And then you've got a microphone in your face asking about your future. So I don't think he's doing it with the idea that, you know, this is a chess game and now I'm going to get McGregor in Vegas in 6 months and hype it up, you know.
Right.
I think he likely was being genuine in the moment. I'm just not convinced it's gonna stick. You know, I think he'll likely fight again at some point. I hope he does. He's 29-0.
Yeah, and that's where you were going, basically that he takes a step back and goes, yeah, if somebody offers me $20 million to fight, you know, George St. Pierre – like, I don't know where is he going to go next. Like, does he want St. Pierre? Does he want
McGregor?
Bronstetter was interviewing him, and he said, that does intrigue me, but who knows where this goes and blah, blah, blah. But
why would George St. Pierre want to fight anybody
anymore?
Why,
and especially that dude. If you're coming back, you're doing the You're doing the easing into it routine, right? Like you're taking
I don't want
on
any piece of that guy at all.
No.
He's scary.
Like
he's
George,
scary.
George St. Pierre in his prime would obviously
one of the greatest of all time.
Of course would fight him and have a real shot at beating him. It wouldn't be an overly entertaining fight for those that just want to see brawls. They'd be on the mat all day trying to submit each other. And,
right,
it would be a technical just masterpiece between the two of them. But he doesn't fight at 155. And he's retired. And he hasn't fought in a couple of years. He's 39. Why would you fight Habib? Why would you? Like, unless it's like, you know, $100 million payday or something like that, then that might spark some sort of interest from George.
I'll get dummied for $100 million. I'll go in there.
Who would you
I'll
fight?
I'll fight Habib.
Who would you fight for $20 million? $20 million. $100 million, nobody's getting $100 million. $20
million. Al's brother.
$20 would get me in the ring with almost anybody if I felt like if the rules were I'm allowed to kind of seatbelt and then drop and then tap out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing about these hypotheticals.
Like, just open yourself up for a one punch and let it be over.
But that,
would you accept that, Hayes, if you went in there?
I'd take a one punch for $20 million.
Yeah, me too. I'll take my chances on the one punch. I will put my chin right out there, and you can punch it as hard as you can for 20 sheets.
$20 million. Now, that's tough. That's tough. Like, $20 million bucks is a lot of money, but you're putting your
house on. But I'm not letting a guy wrap his knee around my neck and make me go to slot. Like, I'll die. I'm not going in the – just one-punch me, and I'll do a Robin Black salute, and I'll be done.
This is the hypothetical. Who would you be willing – how far would you be willing to go in terms of, you know, fight parameters to survive – a full round in the octagon where if you do, you make $20 million. If you don't, you make $0.
Dude, you're not surviving one round against any of those guys.
No,
you can run as fast as you can, climb up the thing. You're not surviving a round. They'll kill you.
Well,
especially that's the stupidest thing you've ever said.
No, they'll kill you, but say it's like an older guy. Like, I'm trying to remember
One of the Severin.
Tank Abbott. You remember Tank Abbott, who was like a, you know, a former bouncer who became a UFC, who was just a flat-out brawler. And, like, I feel like you could run and tire him out a little, especially now that he's probably 55 years old. So
I'm looking
there's
up
no
Tank
way
right
I would.
Now. Tank's 55. I think I could. I'd accept that for $20 million.
What? You would accept one round with Tank Abbott?
For 20. $20 million noodles. I have to survive it. And
would you
and
let Mike Tyson punch your face in for $20 million?
Not a chance. No. Mike, that's where I was going to go. To me, boxing might be scarier because you could go in with one of these UFC guys and they would submit you. They'd armbar you. They'd choke you out. Mike Tyson would knock your head clear off your body with a punch.
Well, he's gone zen these days. Did you hear that out of nowhere, Mike Tyson?
He's doing rapping videos and
but
he's got
a like a it's like a kind of dance. It's not even, what do they call it? EDM. Here, I think we got it, Mullen. Do you have the Mike Tyson song? Okay, let's play this, all right? This came out of nowhere. I wasn't aware that he was involved in the music industry. I'm not sure he technically is. Like, this feels like basically he did this on an iPad.
Yeah.
And anyone with a YouTube account could pump this out. But it's going to get pub because it's Tyson. And I think some clubs will play this if clubs are ever allowed to open again.
No, they're not. I've heard it. It's play it.
Listen to it.
Mike Tyson.
I've been the wildest. I've been the craziest. I've been the outrageous.
The vicious, the most destructive fighter
I'm
ever lived.
Mike Tyson.
An international star.
A warlord to strip your heart out.
And guess what?
I'm Mike Tyson. Tyson.
Guess what? I'll fight your ear off.
I'm Mike Tyson.
I'll listen to that in Vegas.
I'm Mike Tyson.
Tell me you wouldn't hit a club with that song on right
now. For sure.
I would for sure. I'd love it.
No.
I would do anything right now to be at a club in Vegas listening to that.
Me too. Yep.
Hey?
At Wet Republic right now.
Exactly. By the pool.
Yep.
Listen to that. There would be people. The whole pool would be just jumping up and down, bouncing.
Crazy. This is basically a Tiesto song.
Now, it's tough, though.
It's kind of weird that
he's
you
got a,
release
he's got
a song
a little,
with your name. You know,
he's got a little speech impediment, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, are you going to ask him that or tell him that?
No, but I'm just saying, like, that's
tough,
too.
He's got a lisp. I don't know if
he's got a lisp. I don't know what that's called. I don't want to be – I'm trying to be respectful about it. I'm just saying that that's – you can hear it in the song.
You got to come up with our. We got to come up with a mixer and come up with our own songs. I'm Hazy B. I'm Hazy B. I'm Old Dog. I'm Noodles. Yeah, by the end of the week, we got to fire up our own Mike Tyson jingle.
It's a pretty arrogant move to have your first song
incredibly
named after you.
Yeah, but he's a
his first song's called I'm Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
He
but
is
it's going to ring
Tyson.
Out, man. I'm telling you, people are going to download that. Like, I don't know what the downloads are going to be, but they'll be high if it's available online or Apple Music or Spotify or whatever. Marcellus Wiley coming up in about 20 minutes. Rays pushed back to the 6 p.m. hour, so we'll catch up with Ray later in the afternoon. Ryan Dempster on the World Series, he'll join us as well in the 6 p.m. hour. And Nate Bjorkgren, the new head coach down in Indiana, was on the Nick Nurse Raptors staff for the past couple of years. And he's also from Iowa, which is crazy. He and Nick Nurse, like, there's about 15 people that live in Iowa, and two of them are head coaches in the NBA. So we'll catch up with Nate in about 50 minutes from now. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Marcellus Wiley in about 20 minutes. Nate Bjorkgren will join us at 5:30 as well, the newest head coach in Indiana, who's on the Nick Nurse staff. And we'll catch up with Marcellus. We got a lot to get into looking back on yesterday. And there were a lot of positives in the NFL. But, man, there are some dumpster fires starting to really pick up. And the Cowboys come
Dallas,
to mind.
A mess.
Dallas is the biggest mess. Like, for them to put 3 points up on the board.
Incredible, man.
The Washington football team is truly abysmal. And it feels like they've just quit. You know, that's what it looks like to me watching that team. They're not that good anyway, but they've quit. And Mike McCarthy, I think, is in big, big trouble.
I told you a couple of weeks ago. I think he's going to get fired. It's just year one, and usually they get some rope, and there's been some injuries, but I think he gets fired.
Yeah,
especially when he calls out his team. I don't know what you're supposed to do in football. He called out their team toughness yesterday, saying, not exactly the response I was looking for. So now you got the players calling him out, saying he's disorganized. He's calling his players out, saying they don't care enough. What a mess.
Well, and the owner's got to own all of that. He's the one who's allowed the, you know, he's done the hiring. Guaranteed he's got his fingerprints all over that.
He does.
The roster.
He won't own any
roster,
of it, though.
That roster stinks.
Yeah, they
like
suck.
Like, Dalton gets crushed, and people are like, oh, you should sign Kaepernick. And, like, that's the least help they need. They need an O-line. They need a D-line. Like, they need, they can't defend. They can't do anything.
Unless
Kaepernick
can
play all, if he can play all those other positions, great.
And yeah, exactly.
Dalton got crushed.
Does he play
too.
Left tackle? Well, Dalton, and that was a greasy hit. I mean,
yeah,
he deserved to get kicked out of the game, and I think that's what McCarthy was responding to.
Dude, why not suspended? I mean, that Vontaze Burfict last year got thrown out of the league for that hit, or a similar hit where he took a guy's head off in Detroit. He just left the building. He didn't play the rest of the year, I don't think, and this guy doesn't even get suspended for that?
Well, he still might. He got kicked out. I don't know what the protocol is here with review processes when they make a decision on that. That was really ugly. Like, Dalton had clearly given himself up, as they say, and was hitting the deck and was done. And I think that's what McCarthy was responding to, though, was how does no one go up to that guy? Like, in physical sports, we see it. Like, hockey and football are separate from every other sport where people can quite literally knock you out with physicality. And yeah. How are you supposed to respond as a team? Not get crazy, not storm onto the field, but go grab, you know, go pop
yeah,
the guy, go do something, go acknowledge that the guy crossed the line, and there was no acknowledgement, and that suggests that Dallas has just turned on each other. As much as they've turned on Mike McCarthy, what that says to me is the players look at each other and they're like, you suck,
yep.
Get me out of here, and they're all moping and they're all, you know, just basically allowing Rome to burn. So it's a problem down there, and I think it's going to continue to blow up and be more and more dramatic. I'm curious to see how the New England Patriots season is going to resume
yeah.
here.
Not much Cam Newton dancing around right now, is there? The love affair with Belichick, that's a sideshow too.
But Belichick came out, and I thought Belichick came out today and said he's our starter.
Like, yep, he did.
Newton stunk. Like, he was terrible yesterday. What did he throw, two picks or three
yep.
picks? Like, he was awful. But I was looking at their schedule. They've got a chance to rebound. Like, they're playing the Jets. Who else are they? Like, they've got a two or three games that
their
should
own division
be.
Right isn't going to be that great. Like they still have the Bills two more times, and the Bills barely snuck past the Jets. I mean, the Bills.
How the mean game has changed for the Patriots, though. Remember a couple weeks ago, they're all saying, "Oh, Brady," and there was memes of Belichick and Newton, and Brady stunk the joint out for a game. Yeah. That ain't happening anymore, is it?
No, not
because the Buccaneers are rolling and the Patriots are garbage right now.
Yeah, it's been a reversal of sorts. But what's not going to happen is you're not going to see pot shots in the media. You're not going to see the drama flare up. Like Belichick won't allow it. It's not going to happen in New England like it is in Dallas. So even if they are starting to crater here and they've lost three in a row, and like San Fran still has the makings of a good team. They were in the Super Bowl last year, but they have so many injury problems. And they steamrolled them yesterday. The bigger concern was last week. They lost to Denver at home.
Yeah.
Like, you can't lose to Denver at home. That is a problem. And Cam is having issues, you know. And it's an issue right now, to put it lightly. So Marcellus Wiley will join us in the next hour. We'll get his take on those two teams, on a bunch of young quarterbacks putting up big days yesterday and the Monday night or tonight. You got Chicago taking on the Rams, two good teams. So that more coming up, hour two. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.